Welcome to the program, listeners. Tyler Friel with you on WISR 680 AM 107.5 FM. This is the extended news at noon. And our conversation today will take us to Saxonburg, where we are joined by Fred Caesar, curator of the Saxonburg Museum. We've had him on the show before. Fred, first of all, thanks for taking the time and welcome to the show.
Thank you very much. Thanks for having me today, Tyler, and thanks for your listeners for joining us for this discussion.
Yeah, and I think we're going to get into a pretty fascinating topic, because when we've had you on the show before, Fred, we always talk about some of the details and history of Saxonburg, but recently it was brought to light of some of the issues that are going on with an important historical facility in the Saxonburg area, and that is the Roebling Workshop. And so first, let's get into some details about exactly what this workshop was, John Roebling and his history with the Saxonburg area, before we get into some of the issues with the facility itself.
I'd be glad to. Yes, the history of that building it goes back to 1838, but we'll go back a little bit further. John Roebling emigrated from Mühlhausen, Prussia at the time, Germany, and he and his older brother, Carl, bought land here in Butler County, and then they established what was first called Germania and then became known as Saxonburg. John, who had an engineering degree and was a master engineer back at the home old country, he eventually became involved with engineering work, and then that later led him to perfecting the wire rope cable. So this building that we're talking about is the Wire Rope Workshop. It's currently located in Roebling Park in Saxonburg off of North Rebecca Street by Water Street. It was originally built around 1838, so it's 185 years old. It was built at the corner of North Rebecca and Water Street. The backside of the building faced North Rebecca Street. It was his workshop. It was his office, and it is where he then perfected the wire rope workshop and worked in that building from 1838 till 1849, and he left Saxonburg to go set up a factory in New Jersey. It's envisioned that he would have been one side of the building is probably a office area, and another side might have had a workbench and others. There's no illustrations or drawings of anything of what the inside of that building looked like when he was here. It sat there until the mid-1970s. The property changed hands, and there were local family members that ended up owning the property. And so we're going to jump all the way to now 1968. Mayor Roldan Cooper, the mayor at that time, had negotiated and ended up with getting the house, the workshop and the land donated to the borough of Saxonburg. They started talking about an idea of a park, a museum, and relocating the building. It was in a precarious position, and it was in not very good shape, by the way. And so it was very close to the road, and they were always worried that a truck or a car or some vehicle might hit it and it would collapse. So they wanted to move it and they wanted to save it. However, there were some studies done at that time, and the feedback was that it was really beyond repair. And believe it or not, the borough council voted to raise the building, tear it down, and then sell off the wood for souvenirs. There was a change of heart and a change of mind. Some further research all led to saying, we think we can save this building and move it. And so in the mid-70s, it was moved to its current location in Roebling Park. And they put a stone foundation under it at the time. And that's our problem today. And that leads us to what the issue is today. The building's been tilting, especially since 2017. We've noticed that the stone foundation has fallen away, and there's gaps, and so it's in precarious condition again.
And so there's a threat then potentially. I guess how would you describe How would you describe the timeline of this? Basically, if this building were not to be repaired in the near future, how much longer do you think it would stand?
Well, we've been hearing from some engineers and people that know far better than I about building construction that we're about a year, year and a half away from it having a serious problem of collapsing. It would just fall into itself in a way. The walls would start cracking and creeping and go from there. There's a in the last 12 months or so, there's been a 2 to 4 degree tilt in one direction. And then if your listeners who have been in the park or seen pictures of the Roebling Park, in 2001, there was a replica of the Brooklyn Bridge placed adjoining the park pavilion and abutting the workshop. It has turned out that the Department of Interior, because that building was put on the National Register of Historic Places in 1976, there should never have been the bridge attached to the building at that time period. So we've got to correct that at the same time. However, what's been very interesting is where the bridge has been attached with the bolts and the metal and the woodwork, there's now a gap been forming, so the building is actually tilting away from the bridge as well as tilting towards the back in the back corner. So the area is, it was called the Meadows, by the way, when the Roeblings owned the property. Some people nickname it as the Swamps now. It is, and Roebling was very appropriate to name Water Street, Water Street. It is still very prone, prone area, runoff and that. That has been an issue with the erosion as well to the stone foundation.
And again, we're here with Fred Caesar. He's curator of the Saxonburg Museum. We're talking about the Roebling Workshop. But recently, Fred, the Saxonburg Council voted unanimously to move forward with a project that would repair the park. But one of the issues with that project would be the cost of it. And so you're a part of a group that is looking to do some fundraising to help repair the facility.
That's correct. I'm also president of the Friends of Saxonburg Museum, a 501c3 charitable organization that's independent of the borough, but our responsibility is to raise funds for the historical Saxonburg Museum and the wire rope workshop. And yes, you're correct. Last week, the borough council, it was a very historical vote. They took a vote with the to put on the record the intent to fix the building, construct the a new foundation, raise the building, and improve, and do all that work if the funds can be raised. And so they did initiate last year and had on a bid process to have a study done on the building, and Saxonburg's Etzel Engineer and Build Company, they won that bid, and they've been doing the study. The Fringe just paid for that study. No taxpayer money was used to pay for the study. It was about a little over $28,000. So we're very grateful to the people that have donated to the Fringe up to this point and helped us to pay for that study. Now we got to go forward. And the study has a plan on how to raise the building, build a new foundation underneath, put new drainage system, improve the drainage in the general area, really we're looking for something that is for the long term and future generations can enjoy and experience the building. The bottom line, however, is the cost is estimated to be anywhere from $234,000 to $254,000. So we're now starting, and it'll be slowly phased out over time here, a major fundraising campaign. We've already had some people approach us and indicate that they'll, now that the council has voted, that they'll contribute some money, which we appreciate it, and we'll try to get that money and save that building. You know, one other thing, going back to history of the building that also is significant. We talk about that building as the birthplace of the wire rope industry in America because that's where John Roebling started the wire rope cabling, and that he got his first patent there in 1842 U.S. Patents 2720. So it's significant for that part. But there's also been historians that have visited the area that have said, oh, please, 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 you've got to save that building. It is also an example of what was a German settler's house design. Even though it was never used as a house by John Roebling, it was kind of, they would come, the Germans would build these smaller homes that they would live in while they would then build their bigger homes or their combination of business homes, especially on Main Street in Saxonburg. But this is the only type of that house structure in this general area. So people are saying this is important to save, not only because it was the workshop and the office for John Roebling, but is an example of what would have been a German settler's house as well.
And I think there's something, too, about the Saxonburg area and its appreciation for history. Because, you know, as you go down through the downtown area and you see these little notes and links that connect to history, there is something that's, one, sentimental, but always, I think, reassures residents and visitors to say, hey, there's a pretty cool history here, and that workshop is definitely tied to that area, no question about it.
That's correct. Yes. And no, I mean, we have a very historic, quaint Main Street, and there the core of some of the buildings go back 180, 90 years almost. We have a very rich history, a German heritage, obviously settled in this area. And the people of Saxonburg have done a great job over the decades to save and preserve the historical nature of the community and to allow future generations to experience it.
When we talk about the wire rope, obviously everyone, a lot of folks familiar with the Brooklyn Bridge connection. How popular was that in terms of building bridges? Where do you see, how often did you see the wire rope utilized in building bridges across America?
Well, it's very interesting. During the time period that John Roebling was here, he built several bridges, including one here in Pittsburgh. The Smithfield Street Bridge was one of the bridges that he built. It's not the one standing. Neither of the ones that he had eventually built here in the area are standing anymore. However, he did build and use wire rope. It's very interesting. The iron wire that they would use at that time was brought from mills along the Allegheny River and taken off at Freeport. Freeport got its name because it was at Freeport. And then they brought the raw wire over to Saxonburg. And for your listeners that can envision this area, from the area of about the gazebo in the park up behind the old white church down to where Duco's ceramics is on the other side, there were 8 to 16 men would volunteer. They'd get paid to help with the project, but they would twist cable. Some of those pieces ranged from 600 to 1,200 feet long. Well, they were used on bridges in parts of this country, including in the Pittsburgh area. He would do that, but it was becoming more and more complex because the finished product then had to be taken back to the river and moved on the river to different locations. So it was very complicated to do that, and eventually he left because he needed a factory and he needed better means of transportation. There was no train in the area that could be used at that time. But that then took off, and then he started building more and more bridges. One of the bridges that's still standing is the bridge between Cincinnati, Ohio, and Covington, Kentucky. And then the famous bridge that you mentioned is the Brooklyn Bridge that was completed on May 24th, 1883. And then the family continued the factory, and the cabling was used for other bridges around the United States, including the Golden Gate Bridge. They did not design that bridge, but some of their cabling was even used later on, way past the death of John Roebling, for that bridge and other bridges as well. So he had he started what was a great, innovative engineering feat of getting suspension bridges built because of what, how he perfected the wire rope cabling. And it all was because of what he did here in Saxonburg.
So as you mentioned, the rollout for this initiative is basically in the process. So as people are trying to follow along or figure out ways to donate, what avenues will they be able to use?
Well, we can take donations. Checks would be welcome to Friends of the Saxonburg Museum at P.O. Box 17, Saxonburg, Pennsylvania, 16056. We do have already a Friends of the Saxonburg Museum Facebook page. We will be developing other social media and all that. We are in the midst of working on trying to get a GoFundMe page up and running, and that should be very, very soon. So there'll be a means to do through GoFundMe, and we're looking for people to just keep spreading the word and doing that. But right now we can take checks at P.O. Box 17, Saxonburg, Saxonburg, Pennsylvania, 16056. You know, a footnote, in trying to prepare for these remarks, I ran across an item, but in your history reading and all that, Joseph Pulitzer in 1885, he was interested in getting funding for a pedestal for the Statue of Liberty. And back in 1885, he raised $100,000, mostly a dollar or less from most people, including from school children who donated pennies, dimes, and quarters. I'm inspired by his campaign. Obviously, $100,000 was a lot then, but $250,000 is a lot now. And I want to say to your listeners, I fully understand we're in some tough economic times. If you can spare $5, $10, it doesn't have to be a lot of money. A lot of little checks, a lot of little small donations all add up. And you can help be a part of saving history and making sure future generations see this important historical building. And so it is not something that you have to say, oh my gosh, I don't have $100. No. $5, $10, it all adds up. And it will help save this building.
He's Fred Caesar, curator of the Saxonburg Museum. Fred, as always, we appreciate the time.
Thank you very much.
I'm Tyler Friel saying so long for now. You're listening to WISR.